Good day, and welcome to Dhanuka Agritech Limited Q1 FY23 conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yashri. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants on the call of Dhanuka Agritech. From the management, we have Mr. M.K. Dhanuka, Managing Director, Mr. Rahul Dhanuka, Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. V.K. Bansal, CFO, on the call. Without any delay, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Dhanuka for opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Dhanuka.
Thank you, Mr. Manish. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Myself, M.K. Dhanuka, Managing Director of Dhanuka Agritech Limited. I hope all of you are doing well and keeping safe. Thank you for joining us in the conference call for results of Q1 of FY 2022-23. I have with me Mr. Rahul Dhanuka, Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. V.K. Bansal, CFO of the company. Dhanuka Agritech Limited is a leading agrochemical company in India, focusing on branded sales in the market. The company's strength lies in the manufacturing and marketing of formulated products. The product portfolio is spread across insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, and plant growth regulators. Dhanuka Agritech is working with the vision of transforming India through agriculture. Our belief is that when we transform the lives of farmers by enhancing their productivity and quality, in turn enhancing their income, we are making a small contribution in transforming India. We work in all major crops in India and have implemented the best-in-class technology to ensure a smooth and efficient supply chain. Dhanuka have a pan-India presence through its marketing team and warehouses in all major states across India. With three manufacturing units and 41 warehouses across India, Dhanuka caters around 6,500 distributors and dealers and around 80,000 retailers. Through its extensive network, Dhanuka reaches out to approximately 10 million Indian farmers with its products and services. Dhanuka has more than 1,000 techno-commercial staff, supported by a strong sales and marketing team to promote and develop new products. It was due to the efforts of this team that Dhanuka was able to secure higher growth in the focused products in comparison to the generic product portfolio, which in turn help us to protect the bottom line to a certain degree in a challenging quarter. Dhanuka's strong R&D division has world-class NABL-accredited laboratory as well as an excellent team for new product registration and development. Dhanuka has international collaborations with 10 leading global agrochemical companies from the U.S., Japan, and Europe, which helps us to introduce the latest technology in India. This year, the rainfall has been uneven, and although the overall rainfall is above average, east and north region have suffered from very less rainfall, whereas south and west have seen unprecedented rains resulting in floods. Now, the rainfall has covered most of India in July, except for the east region, and July lifting and consumption was up to the mark. Now, moving on to the financial performance for the last quarter, our revenue from operations stood at rupees 392.73 crore in Q1 of FY 2022-23 versus rupees 366 363.79 crores in Q1 of FY21-22, representing an increase of 8% over the corresponding period of last year. EBITDA stood at rupees 68.33 crores in Q1 of FY22-23 versus rupees 68.86 crores in Q1 of FY21-22. Profit after tax stood at rupees 49.11 crores in Q1 of FY22-23 against 48.6 crores in Q1 of FY21-22. The zone-wise percentage share of turnover for quarter 1 FY22-23 is North 30%, East zone 9%, West zone 44%, and South zone 17%. Product category wise share of turnover for Q1 of FY22-23, insecticides contribution 27%, fungicide contribution 11%, herbicide, which goes at the initial stage, 52%, and others 10%. The shareholders of the company in the 37th annual general meeting held today at 11 a.m. declared 300% final dividend, that is rupees 6 per equity share, having face value of rupees 2 per share. The board has already paid 400% interim dividend to the shareholders as declared in its board meeting dated 2nd February 2022. The total amount absorbed in the payment of dividend for this year is rupees 65.21 crores. We are happy to inform that the company has obtained approval of the CIB and RC, Government of India, under Section 9(3) of the Insecticide Act for two new molecules. One is herbicide and another is fungicide for formulation indigenous manufacturing. The one product is Cornex, which is a herbicide, which is combination of two molecules, halosulfuron methyl plus atrazine, which will be used for the control of weeds in the crop maize. The second product is Zenet, which is a fungicide, which is a combination of thiophenate methyl plus casubamycin for the control of powdery mildew and bacterial leaf spot in tomato crop. Further, the approval has been granted by CIB and RC to the company for three herbicide molecule and PGR for formulation indigenous manufacture under Section 9(4) of the Insecticide Act. Setting up of the Dahej plant is as per its scheduled time, and we hope that the initial production will start from March 23. Being India's leading agrochemical company, Dhanuka are at the forefront of introducing digital solutions and innovations, streamlining policies and collaborating with indigenous entities to boost the integration of technology across business segments. In the same endeavor, we have tried to boost our reach through online farmer interactions and aggressive use of TV advertisements for all our key products. We are focused on expanding our market coverage through our network of distributors and our digital platforms where we engage with the end consumer. In the same endeavor, Dhanuka has tied up with upcoming online platforms like AgroStar, Behar, Gramophone and Plantix for online sales of Dhanuka products through their platform. We consider ourselves responsible towards securing the farmers' welfare and preserving food security of the nation. We continue to strengthen our association with the farmer producer organizations, FPOs, Krishi Vigyan Kendra, KVKs and other critical institutions to increase our business expertise and boost our market presence. I am happy to inform that the July month for the company has gone well, and we had very good growth in the month of July, and we expect similar trend to continue in the month of August and September. So we are confident that we will be able to deliver much better growth and much better performance in the second quarter in comparison to the first quarter. Thank you very much for your kind attention. We would now take the questions from you, which you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Varshit Shah from Veto Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. And so my first question is that this is the innovation turnover index has shot up dramatically in Q1 versus the last couple of years. And you had been promising that you guys are working, especially Rahul Jain, indicated multiple new product initiatives. So my question is, is this sustainable, this 18% or maybe a range near to this is sustainable, or is it just merely because of some timing shift out of Q1 to Q2 for some products which are low-end, and hence the ITI is looking optically higher?
Right. Thank you. So yeah, responding to the ITI thing, yes, like we said, we have been working aggressively on this front. And again, with our strength on the VD side front, this is how the Q1 has taken a jump on the ITI index. Because this was a very good period for this new product that we had introduced to take position, this ITI index has certainly jumped up. It will correct to some extent through the year. Yet, as committed, the ITI index will now be only going upwards.
Sure. I think that's really helpful. And the question connected to that.
Mr. Shah, can you speak a bit louder, please?
Am I audible better now?
Little more, please.
Okay. And sir, one thing which I observed was that you have increased your gross profit in absolute terms, which I think has come as a result of ITI because I think the volumes YOY would have been lower, a tad lower if I'm not wrong. So this is purely on account of change in mix and which is reflecting in ITI. Am I connecting the dots right?
You see, in terms of percentage, GP declined, but absolute, you are right.
Exactly. So absolute has grown. So it has to come from either volume or product mix. There's only two ways to increase absolute GPs.
Yeah. It is the impact of GP product mix, definitely.
Product mix, right. So what is the actually comparable volume growth in case you have, if you can share it, in Q1?
Q1 volume growth is not there. Only the price increase is there. Value growth.
Understood. So sir, what is the, since you mentioned, I think the Dhanuka sir earlier mentioned that July has picked up. So do you think that H1 to H1 seasonal volume growth could for the industry or maybe could be in the range of 3%-4%, or that might be some challenges to achieve that kind of volume growth number?
Volume growth number in the first half should be either higher single digit or lower double digit.
Okay. So connecting that to your annual guidance of double-digit growth, then it seems slightly conservative because even if you achieve mid-single digit kind of revenue growth, volume growth, then you can easily touch 13%-14% revenue growth given that you've taken price hikes.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
Fair enough. I think I'll wait in the queue for I have more questions. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to press star and one to ask a question. We have a next question from the line of Viraj from SiMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. First is, I didn't understand the explanation on gross margin compression. So was it more due to the RM pressure, or it was largely due to the product mix? And any perspective you can share in terms of how much of the raw material cost inflation has been passed through in the market? That is one.
My request again to the operator, the incoming sound is not very good.
Okay, one moment, sir. Mr. Viraj, I'll try increasing your volume. Can you also speak a bit louder, please?
So I have the first question from Mr. Viraj, which is around the explanation on GP. And so we'll get that answered and then come to your second question, sir. Okay, please could you repeat your question? Thank you.
My question was, the gross margin compression which we saw, was it largely only due to product mix or there was an element of raw material cost inflation? And in that perspective, we can explain which is, what is the drivers for, which has been a larger factor behind the compression and the RM inflation which we seeing across industries, how much of that has been passed on in the market?
Yeah, you see, it is the impact of both. One portion because of the RM inflation which could not be passed on fully to the consumer, and it is slightly compensated because of the product mix. If you see product mix could have not been better, so the GP acceleration could be around 300 basis points and all.
Sorry, can you repeat the last part? GP what?
But then the reduction in GP could be more than 300 basis points.
You mean if not for the product mix?
Hello?
Yeah, you mean if not for the product mix, the GP contraction could have been 300 basis points?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so any action on the pricing front which would have taken in the second quarter to just recover the RM inflation?
You see, we have demonstrated that ability in the quarter one itself. We have been able to pass on to a great extent. However, in quarter two, we are expecting we should be able to pass on fully.
Okay. Second question is on the other expenses. We've seen a sharp jump year on year. So are there any one-off in that? I mean, anything you can share what is driving the jump?
You see, if you compare from the previous year, absolutely right. But you see, you will realize, you will appreciate because of COVID in the June 20 and June 21, many expenses were not incurred because of COVID, like traveling and vehicle maintenance expenses, dealer meeting, farmer meeting, distributor meeting. So these expenses were low in the year 21 and June 20. But if you compare from June 19 or June 18, so they are in line with our expectation. They were bound to increase because now everything is normalized. So this year the full traveling is happening, full dealer meeting, farmer meeting, dealer meeting are happening. So, you see...
Okay, so this is a normalized cost base.
Yeah, it's normalized now, you can see. That's right.
Okay. And on the Dahej project, can you just provide an update by when do we expect the commissioning?
Commissioning, as MD is communicated, we are expecting the production in the March 23.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. So first question is again on the Dahej project. So how much of capex are we envisaging to capitalize during this year? And whether we will be able to fund the entire capex through internal accruals or we'll have to take some debt for the same? Thank you.
You see, so far now we are not taking any debt. We are making the entire capex from internal accruals. And in the current financial year, we are expecting a capex of around 130 crore for the Dahej.
Right, got it. So second question is in terms of our guidance. So on EBITDA, we have said that EBITDA, we are expecting almost similar growth in line of previous year. But if I check on a year-on-year basis, in FY21, our EBITDA was about 269 crores and FY22 was 263 crores. So are we expecting kind of a flattish EBITDA for FY23? Thank you.
We are saying the EBIT should be in terms of percentage in line with FY22.
Okay. So we had the margins of closer to about 18%. We'll be having similar kind of margins for FY22 as well.
Yeah, so for now you're right.
Right. And on the ITI, during first quarter, our ITI has jumped significantly. But it seems that the volume growth, as you indicated, has been not there. So is it the new products which are coming at a higher price, or these are relatively high margin and high pricing product because of which the ITI has jumped significantly?
You see, in the case of the products which are covered under ITI, they have delivered a significant growth, value as well as volume. But when we are saying there is no volume growth, company has always been in the total basket of 80 plus grants. But the product selected, very few molecules are coming under the current year introduction plus 3 years. So those products have delivered a good volume growth.
Right, got it. So just last clarification on the new product launches. So if I heard it rightly, we have launched Zanet, Cornex and Decide, and we have received 3 approvals for 9-4 herbicides and 1 for PGR, which probably we have not launched. Is the understanding correct?
So these 3 products that we talked about, Cornex, Decide and Zenit, these are the 393 registrations we have got. And in Q1, Cornex was launched and activated. One more herbicide, which is Terminal, was also launched in Q1 and activated. Decide, Zenit and other products will be commercialized in Q2.
And the 9-4 products?
Will also be launched in Q2.
Okay, so in total we'll be, as of today's pipeline, we'll be launching about 8 odd products, 4 of these,
5 for sure, 2 we have launched, 3 more we will launch, so at least 5 for sure.
Got it. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Saurabh from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So if you can talk about the channel inventory at the end of the quarter and how has been the liquidation in month of July?
Channel inventory is not high because Dhanuka don't believe in making placement with the distributor. Channel, the inventory is definitely high with the company because the month of April and May were good when the company was having growth, but June has gone bad because of the delay in monsoon and some sales of June has been postponed to the July month. So that's why the inventory levels with the company are higher, but channel inventories are in line with the industry norms only.
Okay. Sir, the raw material cost inflation, so have you passed on or now with the price coming down, you will take the price correction in Q2? And also, if you can give, is there a specific crop where the passing of the higher cost is difficult compared to the other crops?
So, like our CFO already said, that we have tried to pass on the cost wherever was possible in Q1 and Q2 also, whatever market can absorb, we will pass on the cost increase as well. In the products where there is a price correction, of course, that cannot be passed on. In terms of the crops which are able to absorb is depending upon the commodity prices. And probably in the last call, you were talking about wheat prices have already gone up, paddy prices will also go up. And in July, we are already witnessing that. So practically, commodity pricing going up means if paddy can absorb, which is the largest consumer of agrochemical in the country today, all other crops, commodities are on an upswing. So the cost absorption by the crops is very much there. It is in the competition and price correction that we may not be able to pass on the cost to the farmer.
Okay, so last thing on the other income side, so there's a jump in other income. So is there any one-time element there?
Yeah, it is one-time element. It is because of the selling of two properties of company.
So what was the contribution?
Contribution is around 12 CR.
Oh, okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. Hope I'm audible, sir.
Yeah, Rohan, you are audible.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. Sir, first question is on a significant increase in stock. So you mentioned that definitely after a solid growth in April and May, June was muted. And that is the main reason, prime reason that there has been significant increase of almost close to 100 crore increase in stocks. Is that getting reflected, sir?
So there are other reasons also. You see, the prices were increasing because of the Chinese reason. The number of factories in China were closed down. Shipment was not taking place. Shanghai port was closed for 1 month. And there was delay in getting the consignments from China and the other countries from Japan, etc. So in anticipation of a good season, we basically built up the inventory intentionally considering the price rise and non-availability like situation in the coming season. We geared up for the season, but unfortunately because June has gone bad, so we left over with the inventory. Some inventory was created intentionally for the July, August, etc. because as explained earlier, but some inventory has been left out because of the bad season of June month. But we are confident as July has gone very well. We hope that we will be able to come to the normal inventory situation by the end of the second quarter.
Okay. And sir, since we have seen some softening of the raw material prices, so the inventory buildup which has taken place in the last quarter, how do you see that the current pricing scenario? You definitely mentioned that you will be able to match the last year EBITDA margins, what we have enjoyed in FY22. But is this prices has, I mean, with the weakening in the prices of raw material and the softening in the prices in the market, and since we are sitting in a huge inventory, do you see that the margin pressure still will be very much visible in Q2 also because of the high cost inventory?
I don't foresee much problem because of the reduction in prices, because the reduction is nominal. It's not a haptic reduction. The price increase was very high, but the reduction in the prices is nominal. So I don't foresee that it will have major impact on the EBITDA margin, but definitely as Mr. Rahul has just informed, that wherever the price correction has taken in the raw material prices, it will be difficult to pass on the cost to the consumer. So there the cost has to be absorbed by the company, but we are basically working in an approach with more thrust on focused product sales. So that way our product mix will basically take care of the erosion in the margin in some of the generics where the price correction has taken place.
Okay. And sir, how is the availability of the raw material now and in terms of the logistics challenge which was pretty much there from China almost a couple of months back? So if you can just give some sense that how the logistics is working out, and especially the shipment from China and raw material availability, how it is now?
It is much better in comparison to the initial April, May, etc. And the shipments are also taking place. There are some delays happening in getting the consignments. Earlier from China, we used to get the containers in 15 days time at Nhava Sheva port, but now it is taking around 20 days time. So some time has increased, but otherwise the supply situation is normal and we are getting the regular supplies. There is scarcity of in some of the products, but that is always going to remain, that some products will always be in scarcity, like propargite is one product, azoxystrobin is another product, so these are in short supply.
And sir, third question is on this market scenario. Though you mentioned that August, July has seen a significant pickup in the demand because of the monsoon activities have picked up. How do you see, sir, this farmer's position in terms of cash profitability? Though we understand agri commodity prices still remains buoyant, but definitely there has been some weakness, I think, that compared to last 2 to 3 months. So how do you see that the farmer's cash position is right now? And their ability to spend on crop protection. How do you see that the current scenario?
Before I attempt on that one, sir, when you said weakness, so you were talking about weakness of what?
Agri commodity prices, like you know that we have seen like soybean and some crop prices have weakened in a global market, also in Indian markets also a little bit in last 3 months.
And which commodities are those?
So if you look at the global agri commodity prices, sir, I think that the cotton definitely has weakened in a global scenario, and so as the corn also has seen some weakness in a global scenario. Even wheat prices also has seen some weakness in a global scenario. That's what I was just referring that. Are we also seeing that the domestic markets also are seeing, and how is the farmer's cash profitability?
Right. So, sir, my understanding is that the commodity prices are reasonably high enough for the farmer and the agriculture investor in the rural world to be buoyant about it. Well, the wheat price correction, if any, is like still much better than what it was before the Ukraine situation, and all other commodities are really way ahead of their normal benchmark levels in the country. In fact, because of the wheat shortage, we were anticipating that paddy prices will also jump up with the global demand coming in, and we are witnessing paddy price jump significantly happening in July, especially with Middle East demand coming in. Overall speaking, the commodity prices remain at a level where farmers should look forward to a good harvest and a good income. Now, when in the middle of monsoon, farmers mostly have to depend upon rural credit to invest in fertilizers and in agrochemicals, and the rural credit system, both structured and unstructured, is as of now buoyant and capable enough of taking needs of farmers' credit requirements. So farmer will be meeting his investment requirements from the credit which he takes.
Okay. So just last bit, if I'm allowed, and Naruka ji mentioned in his opening remark about this online platform like you know, AgroStar and Dehat and all. So the sales and providing your product through these channels, online platform itself. So Rahul ji, do you see that there is an emergence of such online platform in a rural area and a creation of a third market, the third party platform that can affect the existing distribution system, like how that your company have a dealers and distributor network? Do you see that in next 3 to 5 years there can be significant change with this emergence of online platform, or it will be just only very minuscule, and how you are gearing up for that?
Right. So though not in next 3 to 5 years, but on a longer horizon, farmer would be shifting towards technology use for resolution of his problems and probably for his procurement needs also. And we are witnessing that shift having started at a very small level already. Yet, there are two aspects to it. One, that still only 35% of the agriculture remains chemically protected. So a large portion, 65% being not chemically protected, there is a huge scope of expansion and consumption increasing in the country. Multiple channels will be active to service the farmer and deliver the last mile rural connectivity. Technology platforms like AgroStar and Dehat are going to be such platforms offering such solution to the farmer. Yet, brick and mortar is going to remain relevant for a relatively longer time to come. At Dhanuka, we are looking forward to these new players as possible partners of growing the business at the same time not discounting the opportunity of direct reach to the consumer and face-to-face interaction through our Dhanuka doctors and through our trained retailers. So it is right now the situation is emerging for us to learn. We are playing on both the sides and we are gearing up to play aggressively on the technology front.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, I just wanted to know what is structurally wrong from FY17. We had gross margins of 43-44%. We are down to 36% in FY22. So is it because backward integrated companies are able to price their products better, or is there something else?
Probably that was a inventory, the price were increased.
Can you mute your phone,
please? Get some disturbance. Obviously, the advantage of the carryover inventory largely. And in over a period of last 4 years, because of competition, there is an impact of the gross margin undoubtedly. The fierce competition has increased in generic market as compared to 17-18.
Okay. And sorry if it's a repetitive question. Just wanted to know the asset for the Dahej facility which is coming up.
Could you repeat your question? Dahej, what are you asking?
Asset turnover for Dahej facility which is coming up in FY23.
FY23, there is no revenue from Dahej.
No revenue from Dahej. Okay. And for FY24, what kind of asset turn are we looking at?
You see, FY24 would be the first year. So we are expecting a revenue of around, to the begin in the first year is around 50 crore.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. And just wanted to know if you could share cash flow from operations for this quarter. I know you don't give the balance sheet for this stuff, but at all you could provide that figure.
Which figure you want?
Cash flow from operations for this quarter.
Cash flow from operation this quarter will communicate you. Will send on email.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's from my.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Varshit Shah from Veto Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Again, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on how you see the equilibrium price on the technical front. So do you, as you mentioned earlier, that larger prices are stable or some bit moderating in certain cases. So do you think that the demand supply equilibrium is largely now established at the global level for most technicals, and now the incremental rate of change will be more a function of purely RM rather than the disruptions on the supply chain front?
I think so. Supply chain equilibrium assessment is too early because the situation has just eased in July. So we really don't know if this eased situation will continue, number one. Number two, the news flowing in from China is not very clear that this ease of supply chain is just because of the stuck inventory in the logistics, or at the back end also everything is smooth. So we absolutely understand that this is the inventory which was stuck in pipeline, which is now flowing in out of China into India and globally. Yet is this the complete picture or there is more to it? So that is yet to be discovered, which will help us understand the supply chain situation in a better way. So this is just an emergence of one part of the story and not the complete. Talking about the global level, I think so the vagaries of weather are playing their role in the corn and soybean markets globally, and that will really decide the demand side, which is not very clear as of now. Even in India, the demand side is just opening up, so we are yet to discover how it will open up completely. Paddy is looking up, cotton opportunity is robust, soybean opportunity, groundnut opportunity is robust in India. So how the demand will pan out all India, how the demand will pan out globally is yet to be seen. Talking about equilibrium could be too early.
Sure, I think that's really helpful. And on the domestic front, I mean, we have seen a lot of companies adding capacities, especially on herbicide side, fungicide side, across the board. So from an alternative supply chain perspective, is India kind of stepping up at least in terms of supply, albeit maybe at a slightly higher cost? But do you see that these kind of capacity additions could lay a stronger foundation for the future 3 to 5 years? I'm asking a very, very broad question, not pertaining to Dhanuka itself.
Yeah, so, you know, we can make it broader in terms of looking at the chemical industry in general. So India is certainly emerging as a chemical hub, chemical manufacturing hub. From the agrochemicals perspective, from fine chemicals perspective, or pharmaceutical perspective. So chemical looking buoyant, chemical industry is looking buoyant in terms of India emerging as a seller, large seller on a global front. Now, a lot goes to the credit of government pushing the Atmanirbhar Bharat campaign and then supporting with PLIs on various fronts. As also is the demand-supply arbitrage which came from COVID-linked situation in China, supply chain issues coming in from China. Yet for India to emerge as a leader and to be talked in the same language, same sentence with China is a long way to go. Now, if we were to expand this discussion, then long way to go means that India is a long distance to cover. At the same time, a huge opportunity to encash.
Sure, I think that's helpful. So if I were to just stretch this question a bit, in terms of the competitiveness of manufacturing, I mean, since we're also evaluating a lot of projects at Dahej in terms of molecules, from a competitive landscape perspective, has that bridge narrowed at least in a lot of molecules, if not all? And typically we see that molecules where there is very high complexity involved in processes involved, India tends to do better on the cost curve. So at least in those molecules, do you see that the gap is narrowing between the cost of production between India and China, or I think that door is still loud and we need China to settle down on this COVID and then see reassess how it pans out?
I know one thing for sure, that costs in China have significantly gone up over the last 3 years. And one of the factors towards that was environmental regulations being strengthened in China. And the erraticity of campaigns, again, the environmental campaigns run by the government there. Now, how the cost is panning out is yet to be defined. Yet, if we look at, if we generalize this to an extent that a lot of capacity is coming up in India for different chemicals, Dahej just being one example, many chemical plants are coming up in India. And there is a lot of buzz around investments in chemical, petrochemical industry, fine chemical industry. That buzz certainly talks of one thing, that the demand from Indian market is absolutely existing. How much is the gap between Chinese and Indian cost, or how much is the gap between Chinese and Indian reliability, are the two factors which India can leverage as a country. So that is something, you know, will vary either industry by industry, or if there is a country advantage here, then that becomes too macro to be responded to.
Correct. No, absolutely agree. Maybe I'll take this over a cup of coffee with you someday.
Absolutely. Most welcome, sir.
Thank you so much, sir. I think all the best to you for the upcoming season.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, again, on the Dahej project, so we had earlier indicated that we'll be having the formulation plant one insecticide MPP and one MPP for weedicide plant. However, we were constrained from the customer side because the plant was not ready, and obviously they were awaiting the entire commissioning of the plant. So any positive vibe from the customer in terms of orders or any, you know, headways from that point? Thank you.
I'm wondering on this question because we never brought in anything in reference to the customers here. So, well, no relation to that, sir. Our project, Dahej project, is on track in terms of its commissioning plan of March 23, and that continues to be there.
Right. Maybe I was, I did not ask the right question. So, basically, we earlier we were an asset-light model. And given that our customers were situated outside of India and they want someone to manufacture or toll manufacture their products, we have now put up this facility. And probably given our long-term relationships, we will be able to capitalize on those relationships to get such kind of orders. So I was just referring from that perspective that any customers who have approached us now that we have, you know, clarity in terms of when the plant is going to be coming up, and we will be able to serve them better from that perspective. Thank you.
Right. Now I got your point. So, yeah, when we are pushing up this Dahej facility, then it is multidimensional. Of course, we are setting it up for, to some extent, for captive consumption, then for domestic and export market, and also for toll manufacturing for our various global opportunities. And those are like in talks. Some of them are moving forward with different speeds, and as and when they shape up along with the Dahej project's design, then probably would be a good time to bring to this forum.
Right, sir. This is really helpful. So one, again, last question in terms of guidance. So the based on the guidance on revenue and EBITDA and what we have done in first quarter, it seems that we'll have to make about average 75 crores EBITDA for the next three quarters. So what gives us confidence that we'll be able to achieve it? Is it based on the new products which are introduced, based on the ITI which has gone to about 18% during Q1? So what are the parameters with which we are so confident that we'll be able to achieve this particular guidance? Thank you.
You see, we are quite confident in terms of the seasonality. If we are confident of delivering a two-digit growth, so I'm sure that we should be able to deliver that much of a EBITDA.
Sure, sir. That's really helpful. Thanks a lot and best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our last question from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and hopefully I'm audible. Most of my questions have been answered.
Mr. Rajesh?
Yeah, is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I was saying that most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to ask about your view on the monsoons in North in this month and September. Are you seeing them getting better and therefore by the time season ends, it will be more normal, or you see some deficiencies in these territories?
Sir, you are equally dependent on IMD and SkyMet as are we. So please don't speak a monsoon forecast on this line.
No, because you are closer to the ground, sir, so that's why I thought you were
You know, being where we are, we are really happy the way monsoon has exhibited its performance in the month of July. That has been really heartening. The soil moistures and water tables have gone up. The sentiments in the markets have really boosted. Inventories have really moved. Farmer is looking forward to a good crop. So all that is really turning out favorable. We are looking out to a very robust Q2 and we are very positive about it. Some of the indicators are that monsoon will continue to be good in the month of August and September, although East India might face some slowed or delayed rains still. So East India is lagging behind in general, and the forecast is it might still lag behind somewhat. Other than that, the country is expected to continue receive good monsoon rains.
Okay, that's very helpful. And my second question is on the paddy prices. You said that they have shot up. So do you see them cooling off if the monsoon is good, or do you think the sowing season has already passed for that crop and therefore, you know, the prices will remain high?
The sowing season is largely passed for majority of the country. However, south and east still there are sowing opportunities, number one. Number two, in general, India has been a paddy excess country. We normally have excess paddy. So overall, farmer can benefit if the prices remain high at the time of selling also, or India is able to offload a large chunk of excess inventory in the global markets. So both situations, India can really benefit. The farmer can really benefit.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much. That's all.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking Limited for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to thank the team of Dhanuka Agritech for providing us an opportunity to host the call. Dhanuka, would you like to make a closing comment, sir?
Yeah, Manish ji. To summarize, Dhanuka continues to demonstrate its ability to overcome challenges and emerge stronger despite uncertain business environment. We will aggressively roll out new formulations in the upcoming quarter and would ensure that it reaches to the consumer. I reassure our stakeholders that we are committed to the task of transforming the landscape of agriculture in India and will play an integral role in rewriting the future of a better and new India. I once again assure that the second quarter is going to be a fantastic quarter for the company and the industry because of the good rainfall, and July has shown the positive path ahead. So we expect that similar performance we will be able to do in August and September month, and by end of September we will be able to show much better performance. Wishing you all the health and safety. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.